than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Guys, we are coming off of an ugly win, but a win is a win. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars to think about now. To help me out, as always, Josh, what's going on, man?
Wasn't that awesome to meet the beard this past week to get things started for week three? Dude, that was awesome, man. What a great guy.
Yeah, you know, this is the Purple Friday preview. We should be talking Ravens-Jaguars, but we do have to talk about this, man. You and I, we got to meet Eric Weddle. He did a local radio show this past week here in Baltimore, up in Aberdeen, and he was the nicest guy. He's so soft-spoken. Definitely a different kind of character than you see on the field.
Dude, man, definitely. I mean, first off, he's small for a safety, you know, all the big hits that he does. And it was just surprising to see how little he was, man, compared to us. And, dude, what a privilege to be around him. The guy's got a world-class character about him, very laid-back, very soft-spoken. I mean, you hear the Ravens Wired segments of how, you know, he loves to celebrate, loves to get in there. But like he even said, and paraphrasing his statement last night, man, he's like, he's even keeled in high times and even keeled in low times. Just like Joe Cool, man. He emulates our leader, Joe Flacco, and he's very excited to be a part of it. He covered everything from the culture to even spurning the Steelers. He even said that Big Ben called him and had Oakland Raiders lined up and a lot of suitors for him in line, and he chose the Ravens, and I've always been proud of that. That, you know, Mike Wallace chose here because of Flacco, and Mike Wallace has taken off with a great deal of success already. You have Eric Weddle choosing here for a reason, you know, and they talked about, you know, going over his move for his family to the whole 4th and 29 play, which was fun to talk about. So it was definitely, and then even talk about the beard for all those who don't know, Brandon, you know, because it was kind of funny because when you post the picture, I told you look like brothers, man. You still do.
I got to say, he's got a way better beard than I do, but, you know, thank
way
you.
Better.
Thank you.
You're starting to get there.
Yeah. maybe a couple more months or even a year, I might be able to have a beard like his. But dude, did you realize this? I don't know if you caught this in the show this past week, but Eric, he brought up the fact that, you know, you and I were talking about how the Ravens didn't look good against the Browns in that first quarter. And it didn't really dawn on me until he brought it up. Those guys were just getting over the death of Clarence Brooks, and that they were going out there and they were going to, you know, fight their hardest and do everything for CB. And he said the reason why that the Ravens didn't look so great starting off was because they were going out there and they were getting a little overzealous, kind of putting too much pressure on themselves, like, we're winning this for CB, we got to do this for CB. And they got ahead of themselves. And that's why we saw a team that looked a little frazzled, looked a little lost in that first quarter. Because in his eyes, even though he never met CB, a lot of guys on the Ravens, of course, had a good relationship with him. They were overzealous. They were putting too much pressure on themselves. And when you do that, it's easy to make mistakes. I think that's what we saw last Sunday.
It was, man. I even covered that with you in the Red Eye Review, how everybody was just jumping at the gate with raw emotions, maybe too over-emotional, and it poured into the game where they weren't settled down and they had to get back to playing football, which defensive phenomenon. We know they let up 20 points in the first quarter and didn't give up a single point in the remaining three quarters and let our offense go to work in that comeback win. But it just shows you how, you know, the football games are all of emotions. And I don't know, I wanted to cover this specifically. I'm glad we're talking about this to start off the Purple Friday preview, man. Did you get a chance to view the O.J. Bergant's video and John Harbaugh online?
I did, yeah. I think it was on the Wired episode.
It was. And how special is that to show that, like even Harbaugh said, this team is forced to adversity. And again, it's kind of funny how – I wouldn't think really think it's funny, but I think it's just – it just shows you how in tune with what we talk about, and then the Ravens cover this, you know, on their own, how we talked about how this team is always forced adversity, and it seems like, you know, there's always tragedy when we cover that in the Red Eye Review. And then the O.J. Brigance video, they cover it as well, and Harbaugh even said that. And for all those who didn't watch it, I 100,000% recommend watching this. I think it's like a 2.5-minute video, very short. It's very touching to know what goes on behind the scenes. And OJ is a very special part for all of our team. And for all those who don't know, obviously diagnosed with ALS. And again, to just cover the team history, he is credited for making the opening tackle in Super Bowl 35, number 57. So it's definitely a special place for us on the team and always in our hearts. And wanted to at least share the Brigance video, have it queued up. And I wanted to at least integrate that for the purposes of what we are talking about.
That O.J. Brigance sent me an email this morning. I should have brought my phone and I would read it to you. And it just said,
good morning, John. We are being formed, shaped, and fashioned through the fire of adversity.
None of us know why. But it seems to be the Ravens' way. God continues to show us the precious balance between life and death.
Constantly showing us the importance of living this day and not take it for granted. With heavy hearts press on to receive what God has in store for us.
I love you and pray that the peace of God will guide your heart and spirit in Christ Jesus. Sincerely,
OJ.
OJ. Well, that's OJ. Always sending the right message just at the right time.
How special is that, guys? Time again, I've always said that OJ, it holds a special place, and it's going to be a sad day when he leaves our presence. And you know, and it's always carried us through adversity, no matter who we're facing. If we're facing a team in the playoffs on the road, like the whole Mile High Miracle, no weapon. This team is forged through it, guys, and I really believe no matter what we do this year, it's always Ravens Nation full steam ahead.
Absolutely, and you know, OJ, he inspires the team. He makes people think. And as much as we enjoy talking about football and we get to watch football and we dedicate so much to it, OJ is a prime example of, yeah, enjoy football, but, you know, there's so much more out there for everybody to enjoy. And football is not always about the game. Football is about the people that you share it with, the fun times you have on Sundays, the laughs, and the shared experience of the game. That's what football is really all about.
And I've always said that, man, you know, especially of our listeners around the world who and by the way, before we get away from it, I want to thank, you know, Ravens Productions for putting that together on Ravens.com. It's definitely something special they've done and they always continue to do. But, you know, I always feel for fans around the world, you know, listening, and I wish I could touch on every, you know, location they're in. But thankful for our listeners. But, you know, to really hone in on that, I feel for people who haven't been to a game. So I would love to just – I've always said, you know, if I had, you know, financially stable and free, I wish I could just invite, you know, I could just buy flights for everybody and bring them in for tailgating, experience it. And you're right, it's about family, even though they might not have ever been to a game, but they're listening, they're tweeting us, and it means something special to us. Every time, every week, we get a new listener. Every week, we get a new tweet. You know, I'm listening from here, whether it's in Los Angeles, California, or all the way halfway around the world, man. And we just had a few this week. I think his name's Richard when he shout out. I mean, it's awesome. We have another one from the United Kingdom. So, I mean, they're just coming in, and to have the support Ravens Nation worldwide, no matter if they're watching at 2 a.m., have to listen to a radio, they have to lose sleep, just to get excited about what's ahead. This team is 2-0. Let's see what we face on Sunday. Can't wait to get after it, man.
Let's talk about week 3. Ravens will be in Jacksonville up against the Jaguars on Wednesday. We did have the return of Elvis Doomerville.
Doom is in back in the house, man. That's special right there.
That's right. That's so at the time of this recording, we don't know if he's going to play on Sunday or not. But, Josh, what does he bring to this defense that we're going to see on the field? I mean, he's a veteran. We all know that. But what we've seen the first 2 weeks, Seven out of the eight quarters that we've seen of this defense has looked really good. We've got guys like, you know, Pierce, an undrafted rookie this year who's looked really good. The pass rush has been really well done. What is he going to do to bring a good addition to this defense?
Well, he's going to add another dynamic pass rusher, first off. I mean, not that we were putting pressure before and we beat up McCown and basically did knock him out because he's not playing this weekend and maybe in a couple more weeks. So with that being said, obviously Doom brings veteran leadership, brings the pass rush, brings another defender for the opposition to look out for, man, because you can't just count for Suggs, you can't count for Mosley, you can't count for everybody else. Now you got to count for 58 out in the field and Eric Weddle blitzing and all that. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a breath of fresh air to already up and down defense. I mean, they were stout in week one. They were shaky to start in week two, then clamped down. So I'm interested to see what week three brings with Doom on the field, if it's going to hurt or help. And of course, it's going to help. And everybody says, well, can it hurt? Well, it can hurt because with the unit playing like they are, you know, there's certain schemes that happen, obviously, and certain players are freed up when Doom's on the field because now you got to pay attention to him. So it's going to be interesting to see what playmakers develop and how that's going to happen. So that's going to be one thing as I'm zoned into the TV on Sunday, is really zoning in and seeing how the pass rushes and how they're handling Doom and Suggs on at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a dynamic duo right there, Doom and Suggs, and look at all the other guys that are working really hard the last 2 weeks. It'll definitely be a huge task to get to for the Jaguars' offensive line if Doom is playing. If he's not, it's still going to be rough, but man, just that added element is going to be killer. I mean, the defense already looks good. Adding him in makes him even better. Josh, so we got the Jaguars. They're 0-2 right now. No wins this season. Let me ask you, in week three, is it a good thing for the Ravens to be going against an 0-2 team and not like a 1-1 team? Because to me, if you're 0-2, you're still very hungry. You're angry. You want to get that win. So aren't they going to be playing like with a little bit extra power, you know, for the Jags? I mean, right now they don't look like that good of a team, but they're hunting for their first win. They're going to be really hungry for that.
Of course they are, and I wouldn't really say, you know, they don't look very good because 0-2 doesn't matter. We covered this time again. It's the NFL. I would say they do have a potent offense. Blake Bortles, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson. They got some playmakers, man. They got Julius Thomas, a great tight end who came from Denver. They got some running backs, man. T.J. Yeldon's he's a good runner, solid. And what we're going to look out for is, you know, for them to try to strike early and strike often. And everybody's like, oh, it's the revenge factor because of what they did last year. I mean, it was a missed call. It's fun to talk about these storylines, but they're dangerous. And 0-2 team even more dangerous because in a weak division already in week three, the Colts looking anemic with their defense. I mean, the Titans are 1-1. So it's just it's a must-win for Jags early. Well, obviously, we're 2-1 if we lose. It's not a must-win, but it's a must-win to keep pace, obviously, in the AFC North, being that we're tied with Pittsburgh. You want to keep winning these early games, like Flacco said, and we agree. Winning these games early and often, because come December, it's going to get tough sledding for us, as bad as we want to look at it. So they're going to be dangerous enough, man, and it's going to be a war. It's going to be an AFC battle down at Everbank. I really can't wait to get after it and see how it all pans out for us come Sunday around 4 o'clock to see when the dust settles. But again, man, it's going to be a war. It's NFL.
And so, again, on Wednesday, we'll switch to offense here. On Wednesday, Ronnie Stanley didn't practice. He's out with some sort of foot thing going on. He says he's playing on Sunday, so there's been no injury report or anything saying he's not. This probably is just a precautionary thing that he's going to be missing. He missed Wednesday's practice, but let me ask you, the running game has not looked very good. I mean, the running game has been kind of sluggish, hasn't really found their footing. What's going on with the running game? Is it a running back problem, or is it more of an offensive line problem not being able to make these holes?
What basically has to happen there is because again, I'm not looking at the injury, but I'm looking at the schemes, because I don't think they're going to have to scheme differently for Ryan Stanley. But him playing Sunday is definitely a must, because I think if we don't go out with our rookie there, it's dire straits as it is. The line's shaky, bro. We know how Flacco's been under arrest since the first snap of the season. So I'm looking for him also. I really can't wait to see how the scheme happens, because you know the Jaguars defense is going to target Ryan Stanley, so that's going to be one thing to really look out for, to see if they target the guy early, because you know, number one, he's a rookie. Number two, he's already shaking in practice with an injury, so and with Flacco's blindside, it's going to be a problem. So Flacco needs to be alert, not hold the ball too long. That's going to be a key look out for come Sunday.
Yeah, and Ronnie Stanley, he definitely we don't know if Ronnie is going to be playing or not at this moment. All signs point to that he is, that he just missed practice due to a precaution. Maybe he's just got, you know, a muscle cramp or something like that, and so they're having him rested. But they've looked great with Ronnie Stanley, even as a rookie out there protecting Flacco. They haven't done a perfect job. Flacco has definitely been under pressure a lot the last two games, so they definitely have that kind of work to go after. But let's talk about the running backs. Justin Forsett, Terrence West, they've done okay. They haven't done great. What do they have to do to improve, or is it the offensive line that has to improve?
It's both. The offensive line, because not only pass blocking, but rush blocking is definitely a problem. You know, we had some promise in the preseason how Terrence West was, you know, hitting it hard running, and before Cam Dixon got hurt, Dixon was running hard. Forsett, we know what he can do, but it's got to be patient. I know there's been some really frustrating struggles with the run. Again, my MO on that is to stay really patient, go after it hard and early, and keep after it. You can't pass the ball 50, 60 times. You have to have balance, and you always said you got to run this up the pass. So I look for the Ravens to be diligent, call the right plays at the right time, and just really stick to the run. You can't abandon it early, because that's what happens is, you know, Flacco has more time to throw interceptions because it's more pass attempts, more sack opportunities, more race. So there's a lot of things to go up. So I think well-timed draw plays, screens, will thwart that. And you got to see what the Jaguars give, because, you know, again, we can say this come Purple Friday preview, but come Sunday, it's what they're giving us. And if the Jaguars aren't putting pressure, take what they're giving you and change as the game goes.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the wide receivers and Joe Flacco. Joe and his team of wide receivers, even though there's a lot of talent out there, they have not been on the same page. Last 2 weeks, Joe's gone to Old Faithful, and him and Dennis Pitta have been lighting them up, especially in that Browns game. He's been working with Wallace a little bit, working with Steve Smith a little bit. But let's talk about some of the other offensive guys. Crockett Gilmore dropped a pass in the last game. Max Williams has been pretty much non-existent this entire season so far. Kamar Aiken, I haven't seen on the field maybe once or twice, a special teams type of thing. Other guys, Breshad Perryman dropping a few the last game. So what do the Ravens have to do to make sure that they can stretch the field, that they can, if the running game's not working, they need to throw the ball. So to have these receivers and tight ends catching is a must, and it's just not happening right now.
Well, Joe's got to trust his receivers, man. I mean, Chris Moore catches that touchdown. It's way a whole new ball game. You got to catch it. I mean, I was screaming at the TV. You were sitting right next to me. You're an NFL receiver. You got to catch that. Hit you right in the breadbasket, right in the hands even. There's no excuse for it. Catches it, looks ahead, walks right in the end zone, virtually untouched. Who knows if that defender catches him, if not by an angle. He's got to trust these guys. You can't go away from that. You got to say, hey, you know what? We're going to make mistakes, but you just got to keep being diligent and being the leader he is, and just put the ball in a position for them to catch it, you know, and that's what makes a true quarterback, true leader of the offense. And I think he's done it a great job, you know, putting it in Steve Smith's hands, putting it in Mike Wallace's hands, and having his trust. I mean, Mike Wallace being the newest addition, obviously Chris Moore, a rookie, but being Mike Wallace as a proven veteran, you know, Joe's going to be more to trust him, but he's trusting Pitta too. I mean, Pitta with his hip, who knew he was going to come back, and what a comeback it was. And that's it's Pitta the Flacco connection special around here, man. And you see it, you know, in these first two games, he's just been on a tear. Again, it's about trust, about ball distribution, and about, you know, having the right routes. Yeah, there's going to be missed time routes where you should have done an out route and he throws a go route, and you don't want that to be an interception miss. Hopefully it's an incomplete pass, but I just look for him to really get on the same page. And as the season goes on, you're going to see us grow.
But you see, that's the one thing that does worry me. And as much as I love seeing Pitta out there and seeing that he's okay, he's healthy,
right,
he can play, I don't like Joe going to one person over and over again. He did the same thing last year with Steve Smith.
That Kyle Buehler lockdown?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there he is, and then just stare him down.
Yeah.
Remember that back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
That got annoying.
Yeah, that got really annoying, but, like, it worked for this past Sunday. I mean, Dennis Pitta looked great, but I think they covered this on the Ravens official podcast. They kept going with Dennis because nobody was covering him. Now that Dennis has gotten, nine catches or whatever, he's going to be a big deal to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they're going to know that Dennis Pitta is going to be one of Joe's targets, so I assume that if I'm on Jacksonville's team, I'm going to be covering him as much as possible. I don't want Joe to just get stuck with one player. I want him to be able to trust everybody. But right now, I don't think he has that. I think he knows Dennis is the sure guy. I know I can throw it to him. I know he'll catch the ball, and we'll get this moving down the field. I want Joe to be able to have that same kind of trust with his wide receivers, with his tight ends. Because, like, you know, Crockett, Max Williams, non-factors this season so far.
Right, and I agree with you there too on a front, but then you also have to give it time too, and you can't. But you're right; you can't target the favorites and always go to here, because if defenses figure that out, who are you going to go to? But I like what you said there about Croc Gilmore and Max Williams being non-existent. I mean, obviously because Pitt has just emerged out of nowhere with his injury being healed and him being back to 100. But Croc Gilmore played an integral part two years ago, in the Pittsburgh playoff game where he caught the deciding touchdown and really put the game away. And it was just something special to see. And I knew Crockett was going to be emerging with the two tight end sets here. And I really like to see him get more involved. I really love what he brings to his team. Max Williams too, man. He's a workhorse. And now I think as time goes in, we're going to see these players mixed in. But right now, I like the formula that's working. I love what they're doing with Pitta, moving him around. And he's had some big, big plays this past 2 weeks leading up to the 2-0 record. So, again, you don't want to really target on these guys, but you want everybody to contribute. There's a reason why we have 53 men on the roster and we want to use them all, and there's a reason why they made it. There's a reason why Butler didn't make the team and Chris Moore did. Well, let's see how that pans out. Right now, it's not looking well. Maybe that's one we missed. There's a reason why Terrence Brooks didn't make the team. So let's see how that pans out. I always say trust the system, trust the decisions the coaches make, because at the end of the day, we do our podcast for fans, we root hard, but we have no control over that. The coaches and the organization says who is staying employed with the team and who's not, who's in the practice squad and who's going to make it or not. So you have to trust that Chris Moore is going to be the guy, and we drafted him for a reason, but sometimes it doesn't work. We had to let Reynolds go. Sometimes the rookies don't pan out. Right now, I'm second-guessing this because I like to see Butler instead of Moore. Who knows, maybe Jeremy Butler catches that because he had one incredible preseason. Whoever was throwing the ball didn't matter. He was catching everything thrown his way. So that's one thing I'm really going to be honing in on throughout the year if it becomes magnified, is that Jeremy Butler is not on the team. But, dude, Steve Smith's doing his work. Mike Wallace is carrying the team. Dennis Pitta, we're capable of – we have playmakers, man. We have targets, and I think there's going to be enough playmaking going around come the Sunday and the games thereafter.
That's what I hope, and again, we do have a great team, and it's a good problem to have when you have so many different wide receivers out there. But I think Joe just has to work with them a little bit more. Like you said, Chris Moore, Breshad Perriman, they need a little bit more work with Joe. They don't have that much with him. He missed so much of the off-season stuff, and he's usually a staple for even the rookie camps and stuff. He's always in town working with these guys, so. As the season goes on, as it progresses, I think that Joe will be able to work a little bit better with him. But we'll see what happens down the road. But looking at Sunday, anything else we should cover for this Jacksonville game?
Oh, man, no. I mean, I think right now the task is at hand to take on this team head on. I think it's going to bode well. This is where I'm going to predict, it's going to get rocky for us. A road game, two road games in a row, a dangerous 0-2 team. We could end up on a good side at 3-0. Could end up on the bad side at 2-1, but come Sunday morning with our game day predictions, we'll go over that. But definitely wanted to cover that one on Sunday morning for our game day predictions.
Absolutely. So, Josh, for this Purple Friday preview, have we covered everything?
Brother, like a boss, we covered this one from the north, south, east, and to the west.
Terrence West. That's right. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us, tweet to both of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And like we said, Ravens Nation worldwide, we have gotten tweets this week from a fan in Denmark and one from London. London, England.
In London.
In London.
Got to get my friends inserting there.
That's right. That's right. So tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52 as always.
All right. Very cool. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the Call Podcast. Anything you need to know there, it's easy. Just find it there. Go to Facebook.com/The Call Podcast. Like us over there. Get ready for game day. We will be doing a Facebook Live video for the game day preview. So make sure you like us over on Facebook. That's where you'll find that information. Get to watch the video. Watch last week's video. Josh and I had a good time up in Perryville. So you can check us out there. Guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let all of your friends know about your Ravens fandom, that you wear purple on Purple Fridays, and the call gets you ready for the game that coming week. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and anywhere else you are social on the web, on Pokemon Go. Name yourself the call listener or something. I don't know. Whatever you got going on with your phone, let people know that you're a Ravens fan. You listen to the call, and they should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week for this Purple Friday. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks so much. And I didn't know people are still playing Pokemon Go. Is that true?
It's still a thing. Did you not watch the news this morning? Some dude was live streaming at 1 a.m., playing Pokemon Go in Central Park, and he got mugged while he was live streaming.
Oh, they're still just running around trying to catch these things, huh?
It's not funny that he got mugged, but the fact that he was live streaming and then the guy took off with his live streaming device because he had three phones on him, and the dude's just like booking it in Central Park. It's a little weird that this guy got mugged while being live on the internet.
A little weird. I hope nothing serious happens and it recovers everything and wish them safe. Yeah, you gotta be safe out there, guys. Whether it's playing Pokemon or whether it's rooting our team hard, come Sunday, be safe. Everything you do, Ravens Nation worldwide, Jacksonville, Sunday at 1, Everbank Stadium is a sight. Guys, can we do it? Can we go 3-0? I think we have the tools to do it. We got everybody all ready to go. We got Doom back, Stanley's mending, Pitt is fired up. Wallace is fired up on all cylinders, and dude, we got the pieces to go. Baltimore Ravens Nation, fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.